Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. It was Easter Sunday. Jesus had risen from the grave, and that evening he had appeared to his disciples, who were gathered together in a room behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was there in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. And they rejoiced at the appearance of their Lord. However, there was one disciple who was not there with the group that night. And I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 20. You have the passage in your bulletin, as we'll read together about that disciple, beginning in the 24th verse of the 20th chapter of John. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." In his encounter with Jesus, Thomas came face to face with the God who comes to us and cares for us in our time of need. He experienced the God who sees us in our distress, who sees us in the time of our weak faith, a faith that has been weakened by some circumstance in which we find ourselves. And certainly this disciple, Thomas, had been through a terrible time. The Jesus that he had spent these 3 years with, that he had come to know and to love, a Jesus that he bravely said, "I will go with you to Jerusalem, even if it means that we die with you." This Thomas was committed to Jesus, and yet he had seen Jesus arrested, put on trial, mocked, found guilty of blasphemy, handed over to the Romans, cruelly tortured and hung on a cross, dead and placed in a tomb. How can you believe in a good God in the midst of that? How can you believe that God is almighty and all-powerful when the Romans can do that and your own Jewish leaders can instigate the death of the one that you love? and even with the witness of his friends who come and say, we have seen the Lord, he's alive. There's just something within Thomas. His faith has taken a great hit. I won't believe, he says. I imagine that Thomas, because he is human like you and me, and I myself have found myself in places of doubting and questioning God, as I'm sure that you have. I would imagine that Thomas, during this time of questioning faith, was also finding within himself an emotional distancing from God, an anxiety about who God is, and about what he would perceive as a deteriorating relationship with God. A restlessness about this one in whom he had put his trust, in whom he was willing to leave his career in order to follow, in whom he believed was the Messiah, the Son of God. But all of that was now being brought into question. And there's something going on within him. And it is that something that many of us experience also in our times of doubt, in our times of questioning God. And yet the promise of Scripture, not only in this story, but throughout Scripture, because there are many people like Thomas in the Bible who struggle in their relationship with God, the promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And the God who sees Thomas and who shows up for Thomas and witnesses his love and his care for Thomas is the God who sees you and me and who will always show up for us to be able to meet the one who loves us. And I'd like to take an opportunity this morning to share with you a time in my own life where I experienced the struggle of faithlessness and also felt that spiritual restlessness within my soul. It happened during my freshman year in college, a year that started disastrously because my girlfriend was killed by a drunk driver. Now, I had grown up in a Christian home, and I had what I thought was a strong faith. I believed in Jesus. I had asked him into my heart. My mom and my dad had passed on their faith to me and my siblings. And I loved my parents and how they cared for us in terms of teaching us the things of God. They would take us to church. We went to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, all of those good things. And I was grateful for that. And especially today on Mother's Day, I'm reminded of the deep faith of my mother and all the ways in which just in her care, she shared that. Dad was more vocal about his faith and was more vocal about things that he was teaching me and helping me to understand, as well as disciplining me when that was necessary. But mom was more that, just that calm presence. She could look at you and you knew that you were loved. She also had the look that you knew you were in a lot of trouble, but you knew that was not her basic look. And I grew up in a family feeling safe and feeling protected. While certainly we weren't perfect and there were difficult things that happened in my formative years, by and large, I experienced very little disruption and very little true pain and struggle and heartache. And so it came to me as a shock. As a freshman in college, as an 18-year-old, that God, this God who loved me, this God who had been protecting me and caring for me, this God who I knew in that way, and who just, I assumed, was going to keep making sure that my life would be pretty easy. I knew intellectually that people out there struggled in different ways. I knew that, bad things happened to people, but I just somehow didn't think it was going to happen to me. And then it did. And my faith took a big hit. It was like being slapped in the face. And I said to God, God, how can you allow this to happen? I believed in a God who was powerful enough to keep that drunk driver from running into my girlfriend. I believed that God could have stopped that. Indeed, I still believe that today. But at the time, what it caused me to do was to begin to reject God, to begin to condemn God. How, God, can you allow evil in the world, the kind of evil that has now invaded my life and caused me the pain and the hurt and the despair of loss that I am going through? And for months, I wanted nothing to do with God. I didn't go to church. There was a Christian group on campus that I was going to be a part of and had already gone initially before the semester started, a couple of meetings, but now I stayed away. But as time went on and I began to experience a slow lessening of some of the emotional hurt that I was feeling because of the death of my girlfriend, there was something else going on within me. There was something else that was starting to build. And it was a sense of anxiety, a sense of, well, restlessness about life in general. If I was going to reject this God that I no longer believed was a good God and a caring God, well, what now? What is life about? Is there anything out there that could take the place of God and all the good things God had meant to me in the first 18 years of life? Was there anything out there that could take the place of my experience of safety and protection through my family? And I, as I understood it at the time, through a faith in a God that was making sure that these good things were happening. What now? And I felt that restlessness begin to grow and that questioning. And yet, I still maintained that God was to blame. And I was not interested in returning to that faith of my childhood. Well, it was later that year, more in the spring, that Christian group that I'd originally expressed some interest in, and they still would come around and talk and try to encourage me and invite me to come back, but I kept saying no. But then they told me that they were going to have a Christian retreat and asked if I would like to come along. And at first I said no, but then they said it was going to be at a place called Eagle Lake. Well, Eagle Lake, I knew it was a retreat, a camp area up in the Rocky Mountains. Lived in Colorado at the time, and it was beautiful. And I'd gone there as a kid to summer camp, and I loved it. I just thought it was one of the most wonderful places in the world. And so I said it would really be nice to be able to go back there. So I said yes to the retreat because of the location. And as I was at the retreat, and as the speakers were talking about relationship with God, and as my fellow students would talk about their own experiences, that restlessness that I had been feeling really began to intensify. And there came an evening that I just could not go to sleep. And as I lay there and thought about things that had been happening in my life, I knew that things were not right, but I didn't know what to do about it. So finally I got up out of my bunk and I began to take a walk around the lake on a path that I'd known very well. The moon was out. It was light enough to be able to see where I was going. And as I walked, I thought about where my faith had gone. And I thought about my condemnation of God and how I'd been blaming God for what was going on. And I thought about the restlessness I was experiencing, and I was saying to myself, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden it came to me. It came to me that I had not prayed honestly to God since my girlfriend had been killed. Oh, I'd been saying many things to him, but I had not been having a conversation with him. And in large part because of remembering some of those good memories from being a camper at that retreat center, I began bringing back some of my experience of closeness with God, and I began to pray. I don't remember what I prayed. I don't even know if I spoke out loud or just in my own mind, but I began to pour out my hurt and my frustration and my anger, but also at my feeling of lostness and my feeling that something had departed from my life that was really important to me, and I didn't know what to replace it with. I asked God for answers. But as I walked around the lake, I realized I was not going to get them, at least not that night. No angel showed up to say, well, let me explain all this to you. No thoughts magically came into my mind that solved my questions. But something did begin to change. Something did begin to happen. As I continued that walk, I began to feel a load lift from within me. I began to feel the anxiety lessen. It was almost a physical sensation, one that maybe you have experienced as well, one that I truly believe is what Jesus promised the disciples in John chapter 20, which he has promised each one of us, the peace of God began to be with me once again. A peace I'd experienced in my childhood, which I primarily understood as a peace that was there because of the absence of difficulty and hardship, was now a peace that was there in spite of difficulty and hardship. A peace was there in spite of my faithlessness. In spite of my saying to God, like Thomas had said, I won't believe because of these things that I have experienced. God was still with me. And God had always been with me. He had not left me at any part of that freshman year, but I had taken a walk away from Him. And as I turned and started to walk back, I realized how much that He was with me every step of the way. I remember at one point thinking I would not have been surprised if I'd stopped and turned around and found him walking right behind me. I don't think I would have been afraid. I just would have gone, well, yeah, there he is. It was that real to me. And as I finished the walk around the lake and headed back and went back into my bunk, I felt a sense of peace. I felt a sense of rest. And within minutes, I fell asleep. God had not come to me to say, let me explain everything to you. God had not come to me to say, Steve, we need to have a conversation. You haven't been good. You've been faithless. Now, I knew that to be true. God didn't have to tell me. But it was not about solving that issue or for me to be a better Christian. It was for me to realize once again a truth that I had known as a child, that I had forgotten as an 18-year-old because of circumstances in my life. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always to the end of the age. My peace be with you. Thomas had his experience. Many other people in Scripture have experiences that we can read about. I have had my experience and other experiences like the one as an 18-year-old, although that very much was a watershed kind of moment for me in my life. And my faith has been growing and changing and developing ever since. But I came to understand something that I'd never understood in the same way before. God is with me no matter what. And there's nothing that can separate me from His love. Not even my times of faithlessness and my experiences of restlessness. And in those times, turn to Him, and He is faithful, and He will provide. So my encouragement to you is if you are experiencing some of that today, or if you maybe have friends or relatives who've expressed something along this line, I encourage you to do this. Take a walk with Jesus. Trust that He's there, but then simply turn to Him and express to Him what is going on. He won't be offended. He already knows anyway. Tell Him about the hurts and the difficulties that perhaps have caused you to pull away in your faith. Talk to Him about what you're experiencing within yourself. And ask Him if once again you can return to that deeper place, that comforting place, that place where as a child is gathered into the loving arms of her mother, that place where we are once again at peace. Not at peace because everything is now going to be better and never again will we be hurt, but peace because we know that He is always with us and He will never abandon us and we can trust Him. Take a walk with Jesus and see if He will not do for you what He did for me, what He has done for so many others. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our scripture passage today. Father, like Thomas, it is easy for us to come to places of doubt and worry and anxiety and restlessness. And in many ways, that's what it means to be human. We all share that experience in our common humanity. But that does not mean we need to stay there. It does not mean that we're somehow trapped into that condition. And certainly, Lord, You do not turn away from us when we find ourselves in that place. But it is precisely here that You make Yourself known to us. It's exactly in these places of struggle that You say, I am here. And You come. And Your first words to us is, peace be with you. And then maybe we engage in some work on building our faith back up. Perhaps we address some of the restlessness and we begin to receive more and more of what You have for us. But the first words are, peace be with you. So Lord, may we know Your peace this day. And if we do not have that peace, may we turn to You and trust that You are the God who gives it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.